Insurrection, obstruction, indictments, civilly liable for sexual abuse. The one man responsible for all that could be sitting in a prison cell on election day and still be elected commander-in-chief for these United States. That man is beholden to Putin, weakened NATO the last time around, and is currently tying himself to wealthy Saudi oil money. He enriched himself when government stated his properties. He campaigned on wanting to use government to go after his political rivals and wants to expand executive power. If Donald Trump is reelected, our nation is lost. So let's roll up our sleeves, get to work, and tell the MAGA folks no more before it's too late. Welcome back to Liberal Dan Radio, Scott from the left, that's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, coming at you from New Orleans, Louisiana. To join the conversation, it's area code 914-803-4131. That's 914-803-4131. You can also join us in the chats at liberaldanradio.com, which brings you to the YouTube channel, or at twitch.tv/liberaldanradio as well. You can make sure to follow the Twitch channel and subscribe to the YouTube channel. That's both for free. You can also... if you have Amazon Prime, you can also subscribe to the Twitch channel for free, and it helps the channel out. Other ways to help channel out include becoming a liberal Danimal for as little as $2 a month, becoming a patron for as little as $5 a month. You have super stickers, super chats on the YouTube channel. You have bits on the Twitch channel. You could buy me a cider, go to liberaldan.com, click the buy me a cider button, or just go to buymeacoffee.com/liberaldanradio, and both ways will get you there. You can Venmo Liberal Dan, just do friends and family, because you're not buying anything in particular from me, so that's the best way to do it. You could also, there's a link in the show description. I can also bring that link up as well and pin it in a second. We're on the final day of my Star Trek game campaign, where I think I'm at about 100, once everything credits as it should credit properly, I should be at maybe about $150. That could be a lot bigger if everybody jumps on in and helps out. If you download the using my referral link from nerdydan.com, because I stream nerdydan.com on Tuesdays over on Twitch. So if you go ahead and you download the game using my referral link, you can play for free. But if you spend $4.99 to buy a second building slot, $4.99 gets me 30, which is pretty awesome. So all sorts of different ways to help out the show. And that campaign ends in a day. So who we got in the chat so far? We got Jolie and Aaron, the Mod Squad. Awesome as always. Thank y'all for helping out and joining up. We got Chad, Steve, Robin M, John Deff, Jeff Curry, Jackie, scrolling, Dakota Dave, Surrender Monkey. Good to see you all. Thank you very much. For watching. That's 17 total viewers, 18 total viewers now, 12 likes, so make sure to smash that like button. Get that Al Gore rhythm going. Al Gore needs more rhythm. It just gets the gets more people seeing the show, more people will jump on, and we can have fun. Have fun in the chat. A couple of minor things, just in case anything happens during the show. We're supposed to have storms rolling through New Orleans tonight. So if that does happen, and I happen to, the stream happens to just cut off, just know that it's probably because of a storm. So, you know, it just happens to happen. And, you know, as Trump would say,
it is what it is.
So there you go. So if I do happen to disappear, that's probably why. Also, I have not decided yet, but I probably will take off next Monday, simply because of the fact that next Monday is my birthday, the big 4-8, 48. And so, you know, you can support if you want to, you know, you can, if you miss me, you could watch older video if you want. I always recommend the very special episode of Living Life as an Obese Person in the United States. I think it's one of my better episodes. But any other example and any other old episode would work as well. Am I sure the topic is correct for tonight's show? I don't know. More on Republicans' abortion rights, on abortion rights and body autonomy. Yes, that's the topic is right. Is what do we think we should be talking about? Daily News. what's going on, Daily News? So it's not Star Trek Online. It's Star Trek Fleet Command. So it's a different game than Star Trek Online. Surrender Monkey. Sharknado for Dan's birthday. When next Monday is my birthday. They say it's my birthday. So probably some other people's birthday too. I don't think it's Paul's birthday, but you know, hey, probably gonna have a good time. Anyway, that's the link. It's both shared in Twitch and YouTube now. So if you play it for a bit to get your base, getting your base to level 5 and getting your ship up to whatever, I've managed to do it in like no more in like 25 to 30 minutes. But that's because I know how to play the game already, so I was able to get like my son's account up really, really fast, just using a bunch of my speed ups. But you know, it's. You know, some people, it takes a little longer to get that done. But the $4.99 for getting me 30 can be done whenever you download the game. So, Chad Bostic, we should talk about the election vote count news of Fulton County, Georgia. Well, we can look that up in a second, but we'll look at the other stuff that we'll talk about. Dean Baker, yes, I'm a Taurus on the cusp of being a Gemini. So... Dakota Dave, I'll try not to cheat on you with Dude, no promises. I mean, you know, you can share us. That's fine. I'm willing to share you with Dude. You know, a little time with me, a little time with you. Some of column A, some of column B. That works. That works as well. I am very Taurus. I don't tend to believe in horoscopes in and of themselves. But then again, I do tend to have a lot of the stereotypical aspects of a Taurus. So, you know.
It is what it is.
Thank you, Donald. Robin M., I'm a clitoris because I'm a girl Taurus, wink, wink. Well, you got that joke licked. Maybe I should save those jokes for Liberal Dan After Dark whenever we get that started. I should say, unlike most guys, I'd be able to find you. Jeff Curry, I've only watched Dude a few times. I'm not sure what to think yet. I mean, it's interesting. He does a lot of debating with conservatives, you know, and a lot of the conservatives he gets is kind of the low-hanging fruit. A lot of the conservatives that he brings on are the ones that he's chatting with on TikTok. I actually had a debate, you know, yesterday on somebody on a conservative's TikTok channel, and that guy with whom I was having the debate with was so ill-informed. It was ridiculously horrible. Robin, I appreciate your sense of humor, Robin. It's we're right there. That's definitely my sense of humor. Big Hook, I'm sorry, but Rachel Maddow will steal me away every time. Well, good thing Rachel started at 7, right? Or my 7, my time. So there you go. What's up, Bicycle Mike? Good to see you. So the two things again is that if I happen to go offline real quick, I'll try and get back online if I can, but it's because of a storm. And if I happen to, and also I will make up my mind by Wednesday. If it's definite that I'm not doing the show on Monday, but it's likely that I will do the show on Monday simply because it's my birthday and I probably want to spend it with family. So good to hear you're recovering well, Bicycle Mike. Bigger. Do conservatives read from the same BS script? I think a lot of them do. There are definitely some conservatives who do come up with their own unique BS, but this guy was coming up with the same old stuff. And this guy didn't even, like, I tried to bring up student loans and like as something, as a positive that Biden did. And he was like, well, the Supreme Court overturned student loans. I'm like, that's not the only thing that Biden did on student loans. There's the SAVE plan. He was like, what's SAVE plan? You're just full of crap. I'm like, I'm literally benefiting from the SAVE plan, dude. Shut up. So, yeah. That's one of the reasons, I think, despite the fact that, you know, a lot of people say, hey, it's malware. But I think it's malware because of a lot of the times because of the formula or the algorithm that feeds you the people that feeds you the users and videos that it wants to show you. And it's vital to fight conservatives and conservative messaging wherever it is. Like, one of the people that dude fights against a lot of times is the older millennial. And I just made a video on the older millennial because he was trying to do the whole, well, liberals, if you're so worried about abortion, why didn't Democrats get abortion passed under Obama? And I had to do the whole explaining as to the political realities of 2009 and why the Democrats weren't able to codify Roe. And even if they did codify Roe, why it wouldn't have mattered with this activist conservative Supreme Court. But, you know, facts don't care about their feelings, I suppose. So, Surrender Monkey, breaking news, Liberal Dan says he stormed but not culpable. What? Bicycle Mike, it's not conservative, it's MAGA. Well, I mean, the MAGA movement has taken over a vast swath of the conservative movement, so I don't know how we distinguish the two at this point. So until the conservative movement yeets the MAGA folks from their base or whatever, until they manage to split themselves off into two distinct parties, then don't know. I'm not sure how I can differentiate the two. Has Donnie got a MAGA Snuggie for the cold courtroom yet? I don't know if he got a MAGA Snuggie. He might be prone to fall asleep more easily. Daily News. There are conservatives, Republicans, and then there is MAGA. But, you know, somebody on the left, a leftist might say there are liberals, there are progressives, then there are leftists. But people who are on the right are so far to the right that they can't see the difference. And they call Joe Biden a leftist socialist. And the people on the left are like, that's funny. So what's up, Cynthia from Texas? Good to see you. It isn't cold, according to Lawrence O'Donnell. Well, you know, when you're reptilian, like Trump may very well be, you tend to think things are much colder and you need to have like a heat lamp over you at all times. So there's that. See, Steve, I see all the Republicans have started the I'll agree with the results if BS. Well, you know, they'll agree with the results if Trump wins. Otherwise, they won't agree with the results. That's basically what it all boils down to. They're not going to agree with the results if Biden wins because they don't understand how a person could win without having a cult-like following, because that's what Donald Trump has. He has people who come to his rallies all the time, and he has a very passionate bunch of people who will, you know, crawl all over each other to try and be the closest person to Trump at the rallies. Meanwhile, I sit here, I have a job, and I have other duties and responsibilities that I have to deal with. I put on my podcast, I have my gaming stream, I have various other things that I have to be responsible for and various other things that I like to do with my time. So I don't spend time going to political rallies, but I vote. And the amount of time spent going to political rallies does not equate political support for people. And they don't seem to understand that. So there we got 29 viewers, 22 likes. Keep smashing that like button, folks. Get that algorithm up there. Even though if you don't like Al Gore, get Al Gore some rhythm. So first things first, let's cover the first thing. I didn't get this on the Patreon because I finished it really too close to the show. But we have an interesting thing about Chris Cuomo. I don't know if you've heard. I haven't seen if Hal covered this or not, but Chris Cuomo is this week's Hypocrite of the Week. This week's Hypocrite of the Week is Chris Cuomo. When he worked for CNN, Cuomo embraced the science and rejected the claims that ivermectin worked to help with COVID. Now that CNN fired him, he has found a doctor who has given it to him for long COVID, and he feels better and has jumped on the lunatic bandwagon. Simple reminder, if you take a dewormer for your COVID symptoms and it makes you feel better, you also had worms. To see who next week's Hypocrite of the Week will be, tune in live Mondays and Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central on LiberalDanRadio.com or twitch.tv/LiberalDanRadio for more talk from the left. That's right. Now, see, I didn't know about Cuomo being in the Epstein Black Book, but what I'm talking about is the fact that he's now on the ivermectin train. He's hopped on that lunatic train, and he's on board with it, and he's, the doctors weren't saying anything negative about it. They were too busy with COVID and blah, blah, blah. And now he found his doctor who treated people with ivermectin and it didn't have an adverse effect and their patients were feeling fine or whatever. And they felt better and whatever, even though the fact that there are full on studies that show that there is no benefit to taking ivermectin. None. They've not shown any benefit to taking ivermectin. And I fully admit, I borrowed that from Hal because that's what Hal said. If you take ivermectin with COVID and you feel better, you also likely had worms. Simple as that. So not even brain worms. I don't know. I don't know if it would have worked for the brain worms. Maybe it would have. Maybe that's what ultimately killed the brain worm in RFK Jr. Who knows? What's up, Nerd Misha? Good to see you. Oh, God, five eggs just farted. Is a five-egg fart worse than a three-egg fart? Probably. Jeff, I got a shirt I always try and wear. When I know I'm going to be on an elevator, nobody knows I farted, LOL. Five eggs. I ate 10 deviled eggs yesterday, which would be five eggs. Which deviled eggs is one of those funny things, which like, you know, would you like to eat 10 hard-boiled eggs? No, why would I do that? Would you like to eat 20 deviled eggs? Sure. You know, would you like to eat, you know, 10 pieces of string cheese? No. Would you like to eat 10 pieces of string cheese deep fried and then covered in Parmesan cheese and dipped in marinara sauce? Abso-frickin-lutely. So, Bicycle Mike, ivermectin is advertised on Newsmax. Of course it is, because, you know, they want to pump their ridiculousness and want to continue to push the lies that are anti-vax, because that's what gets the people continuing to listen to their propaganda BS, is that, you know, don't trust vaccines, trust our silly little non-science suggestions. Three girls, three girls. Great. Now I'm hungry. I'm starting to make myself a little hungry as well. Daily News, Liberal Dan, studies can be skewed to conclude whatever they want. That's why it's good to cite more than once two studies. But there are a lot of studies. There's been no real studies that have shown that ivermectin helps with COVID. And any one that has been presented has been debunked that has shown that ivermectin does help. So there's no proof. There's no evidence. There's nothing out there that shows that ivermectin is anything but snake oil when it comes to COVID. Now, ivermectin is a wonderful drug when it comes to what it's supposed to work for, worms. So if you have worms, take ivermectin for worms. So What's up, Seha? Good to see you. Exactly, TV2 Live. COVID isn't a parasite. Exactly. But you know who is? Donald freaking Trump. That's who's a parasite. So, I was going to, wow, Seha, thank you so much. That is awesome. Seha, for the benefits of the people watching on Twitch, Seha just gifted 20 Liberal Dan memberships. So I appreciate you, Seha. That is very awesome. That is a nice birthday gift for me, by the way. My birthday is next Monday. So definitely great. No, thank you so much for that. That was very sweet of you. Shout out to Seha for that. Yes, that totally proves that you're an asshat by gifting 20 memberships. Gifting 20 memberships absolutely proves that you're an asshat. I appreciate you, Seha. That's really awesome of you. What's up, Pat? Let's see. Grifter's going to grift. I just bought my first air fryer. You can make hard-boiled eggs with them. Really? That's interesting. I've never tried that yet. Of all those gifts, greedy PK, going, Trump is a leech. Yes, Trump is a blood-sucking parasite who is, you know, a grifter and who I just, it's just amazing how it's a problem of, there are a lot of conservatives and a large amount of conservatives who just refuse to ever admit that they're wrong. It's a flaw in the mindset of conservatism is the inability for many of them to admit that they're wrong. Will some? Absolutely. But many, many, many conservatives just will refuse to admit that they're wrong. So when confronted with facts about Donald Trump and why he would be horrible to elect for a second term, these people can't admit that, you know what, you're right. It was a mistake to support him previously. Now, some clearly have come out and said, I supported him before, I can't now. But that is a minority at the moment. I would love to see more and more people do it, but currently that's a minority in what we're seeing in the people who are coming out to vote in the primaries and the people who are coming out and supporting people, you know, in candidacies, et cetera. Most of the people who you're seeing coming out, especially coming out to the rallies, coming out in the primaries, are people who are refusing to see the flaws of Donald Trump, and they'll just bury their heads in the sand for however long it takes to ignore anything that he's done that's wrong, and will find any excuse for what he's done to make it okay for some reason or whatever. Robert Reynolds, it's shorter. I got my hair did for the funeral for my mother-in-law last Wednesday, actually. It's one of the things I did last Wednesday was I got my hair cut to make myself look nicer for the ceremony, for the mass and the repass, as they say. I've never heard the term before, but my wife kept calling it a repass, so it's a repass. The food and gathering at our house. Got my ears lowered. Yep. I heard RFK say to Ari Melber that Trump put us in debt for 20 trillion. Yeah. Well, it's funny because Ari Melber has asked him some tough questions. He was talking and he said, but he wouldn't play the game. He wouldn't play the game or whatever. He wouldn't play along. He was like, well, who was worse for the country? Was it Donald Trump or Joe Biden? And he just kept on saying, they're both bad. Trump was bad. Biden was bad. He's just saying they're both bad. Well, which was worse? He's like, I'm not playing your games. Well, it's not a game. He just wants to know. Especially when I could have made RFK Jr. Hypocrite of the Week, because RFK Jr. back in 2000 was sitting there talking about how Ralph Nader running as a third-party candidate could be a spoiler and could ruin the chances and hand George W. Bush the presidency. And now, 24 years later, that just makes me feel old to know that the 2000 election debacle was 24 freaking years ago. 24 years later, RFK Jr. is more than happy to be a spoiler. Well, I don't consider myself to be a spoiler. I consider myself to be another option. I'm sure Nader considered himself to be another option too. He had no shot in winning. Neither did Buchanan back then. But Nader yoinked more votes away than Buchanan did, so he was ultimately the spoiler. Now, it's also possible that because of the way that the Florida butterfly ballots were written in Palm Beach, that the stupid ballots made it so that probably some problematic seeing people, older Jewish folks in Palm Beach, West Palm Beach, Florida, probably voted for Buchanan instead of Gore, and that could have also been the cause of the election because they came up with this silly butterfly ballot that, if I'm remembering the name of the ballot correctly, that was different than all the other ballots in the state. But, oh, we got a caller. Who is 618? Do I remember that? Oh, Chad, that's you? Okay. Cool. What's up, Chad? How's it going? Hello.
Hey, Dan. How
are you? What's going on? Good. I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to speak quickly to the research I did a few years back on the ivermectin. So essentially, the way that I understand it is ivermectin acts as what they call, in the scientific terms, a 3P protease inhibitor. What it essentially is, so if you imagine a virus like a long strain, right? Just imagine a long strain, and what will happen, the 3P protease will come in like a pair of scissors, and it will cut that line, and it'll replicate. It allows the virus to replicate instead of staying in one long strand, right? What ivermectin does as a viral thing is imagine taking a piece of tape and wrapping up the end of the scissors to where the scissors aren't allowed to cut that strand and allow it to duplicate. So for better or for worse and for what it does and doesn't do, I can't really speak to all of that, but the science does say that it does inhibit that specific protease that does allow viral replication. So does that mean COVID viral replication? I'm not smart enough to tell you, but I did do research on it back in the day, and that was my general understanding as like a, you know, backwoods podunk guy, macro bird's eye view, and the scissors and the tape example just really stuck with me. So there is research out there on how effective or ineffective, yet to be determined. I think that we kind of hurt ourselves by being so close-minded as to allow – you know, things to be tried out. And I think that was a little bit of a detriment to the scientific community and the health community. Because we should test it, whether what's that called? It won awards, like whatever the, it's not the Nobel Peace, but you know what I mean? Some great award for what it does do in third world countries with like malaria and different things. I just think that a lot of people are on the train that's, you know, obviously there's fanatics, oh, ivermectin will cure cancer or whatever, but there are reasonable people out there that did look into these things and have reasonable questions, like, could it be helpful? You know, then they turn around and they push different medications that are actually just molecular deviations of what ivermectin is. I don't know what the one they push on the news channels is now, but it's a Paxlovid for COVID. Right. So they made it rhyme and it goes to remember. But actually, that's just a different chemical composition of basically the same thing that ivermectin does. But since ivermectin is not under that, what you call it, when you have the patent for so long and you can't, you know, make generics and do all that business, it's not under that. So why would you want to let the world know if it was beneficial to even a small amount of people or a large amount of people, like, Why would you want that to get out that would maybe be beneficial if it was 10 cents a pill instead of $10 a pill. So anyway, just as a perspective from somebody that's not full on crazy, I don't consider myself crazy. Maybe I sound like it to some, but there are perspectives out there amongst people that don't view it as an extreme to one way or another. We're just in the quest for knowledge, and anything that could be helpful, in my opinion, should be looked into.
I mean, yeah, anything should be looked into. I agree with that, but you know, when I searched, you know, is Paxlovid a protease inhibitor? It says that it is. When I looked up, is ivermectin a protease inhibitor? I don't see that any results saying
well,
that it is.
You probably won't. That's not surprising at all, to be quite frank. And I don't mean that from a pessimistic standpoint. Look how much it was demonized for how long. You know, these were very obscure stuff. I wish I had wrote down and I could Google and find it. It really took me hours upon hours of just being inquisitive to even get down to, well, what does this do at its root function? You know, and it to me, it wasn't like an eye-opening, like, oh, gotcha, ivermectin, it's the future. It was nothing like that. It was, quite frankly, a little of the opposite of, like, how demonized it was for – I don't know. It was just a weird time. Lots of things got very heated politically. So I just feel like politics should have never bled into healthcare. And unfortunately, I think that it has. I'm not surprised. I knew that I looked at the chemical, the chemistry composition of the different molecules and how they're bonded together and what. And it's very similar, Paxlovid, to ivermectin, but I actually didn't know. You informed me. I didn't realize that it was a protease. I wonder, is it the same one, Dan? Does it say the three? Is it also a 3P protease inhibitor?
I didn't look up. I didn't. It didn't give me 3P. It just said that it's a protease inhibitor. But but like I'm looking at one of the reasons, according to the fact check article, one of the reasons that some people like hooked on to the ivermectin thing was because there was some evidence that in a petri dish that ivermectin did attack the virus in the petri dish, but just because it attacked it in the petri dish, it doesn't necessarily mean that it would attack it in the body. But there's, let me see. There is one word in here that I'm looking for. Where is it?
And I completely agree with what you're saying. Like, you know, lab results doesn't translate to human results, you know.
Right. Let's see. Facebook post falsely suggests that a potential new COVID-19 treatment from Pfizer is essentially the same as ivermectin. The two drugs are structurally different. The post highlights showing that Pfizer drug is a protease inhibitor, that ivermectin was found as a blocker of viral replicase protease in human, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But let's see, what is ivermectin? Ivermectin is an anti-parasite, blah, blah, blah. There are lots of different protease inhibitors. Ivermectin has been used extensively in the past as an anti-parasite medication where it causes paralysis and death of developing parasites. Some study have looked at evidence that ivermectin might have an antiviral effect. If so, through what mechanism? Some, such as the Facebook post, has suggested that it could be through ivermectin's inhibitory effect on the enzyme protease, which is a key enzyme for viral replication. There also suggests mechanisms of how ivermectin may kill some viruses. There are lots of medications currently used that work by inhibiting these enzymes. These drugs are known as protease inhibitors and include medications for HIV and Hep C. Dr. Griffin told Full Tank that ivermectin is
a plethora of amazing uses. This is what I would liken it to, right? So let's just use for an example, right? Can we agree that cannabis has many more medical uses than what we are led to believe or have been led to believe for a very long time, even though they know that there's probably, it could be used for anything from seizures to antidepressing, you know, all kinds of different areas that it could delve into. I mean, can we agree on that there are things that haven't been studied that it would actually be useful for?
I think we can agree both on the fact that cannabis has effects that the FDA won't allow doctors to prescribe it for, and that it also probably has effects that haven't been studied because of the fact that it's been illegal. So, sure. Right, both are probably
and
true.
So, and there are downsides, you know. Cannabis does affect the growing mind before, you know, you become your brain chemistry is fully mature. For guys is like 25, women is like 21 or somewhere, generally speaking, in that before you're fully developed as an adult. And it can cognitively affect you. But what I'm trying to say is that I feel like those two things are similar, even though they're not the same. Like, cannabis has been demonized for so long because of perceptions that people weren't even allowed to study it because it was deemed as illegal. I feel the same way about ivermectin. Now, how effective it is or isn't, to my point, is sort of irrelevant, but it was demonized so much during the uprising, and rightly so. Some people went crazy with it. I get that. I truly get it. Like, I really do. But I feel that same demonization took effect whenever the medical community should have been freely allowed to ask questions, and they should have been freely allowed to conduct studies without stifling left or right.
There are people
like
that did studies, though. There are people that did studies, and the studies didn't show any benefit. And the problem is that – well, there are two problems. A, you had the people who were like your Joe Rogans out there who were hopping on board like, you know, like, yeah, ivermectin, yay. And so people were going out and, like, you know, taking, like, medicines that were clearly, like, ivermectin with other things that were, like, was it, like, fish cleaner or something, and were killing themselves.
There was so much crap. Yeah, it was like a fish tank, yes. And people were ordering crazy shit, and yes, absolutely. Like, there was, and I disagree with that wholeheartedly. I disagree with
right.
the opposite.
So there's a responsibility amongst people in the scientific community to only push things that are proven to be, you know, to be safe, and when you cross it with the requirement
okay.
of, I guess, in an emergency that also have to be, you know, done. So there are things like, for example, the beginning of the pandemic, you know, certain things were had to be done in the emergency approval stage, where certain things were allowed to be done more quicker than normal, simply because
sure.
of the fact that we had a global pandemic going on. So that's why you saw.
I completely understand.
Perhaps one.
Like AstraZeneca. AstraZeneca came out and got yoinked right back here. Now, how many years later? You know, that they didn't put that, they didn't give the same reverence. They're not taking ivermectin off the shelves. It's actually the reverse for ivermectin. There's actually more positive news coming out about it now that people are more feel more comfortable that they're not going to commit, you know, career suicide by speaking up to actually or to try to accept the grants in these institutions that are overwhelmingly run by, you know, one group more than another, you know, as opposed to now there's actually news trickling out towards the bad side of the vaccines. Vaccines are even being pulled off the shelves due to, you know, they call it rare, whatever they, you know, whatever side effects. But that's my point. I'm not saying one's right, one's wrong, this, that, or the other. What I'm saying is that people shouldn't be ostracized and made to be felt dumb. It's almost like Hillary Clinton's deplorable moment. You know, that was one of the biggest mistakes that she made. It made a lot of people mad. And I think people feel that same way coming from a standpoint of, well, why? It becomes intriguing. Why are you trying to shut this down so hard? And then you find out the price, and then, you know, the potential is there, but – you know, I would challenge you to find five studies about ivermectin related to COVID. And maybe that's an easy challenge. I don't know. I'm not typing in Google. I'm just speaking off the top of my dome. But there should be countless studies. If somebody came up and said, hey, maybe this might work, everybody should have been on board, just like trying to fast-track the vaccines in the middle of an emergency. There's something – there's a reason why it was subdued so much, and it was became this, now partly because of crazy, you know, fish tank stories and people going over the top. But my point is that the sentiment should have been the same for all avenues of treatment. If we were really looking, if we took a monetary, you know, profit out of it and everything, you know, all of these vaccines, you know, the companies are liable for the injuries. It's the government that's liable through the vaccine court, which is the secret court, essentially, to make people who are injured whole. You know, so there's just lots of money-handed weird things that shouldn't be, just like politics. I know people got to make money in the industry, but there's just too much weirdness involved of how hard some things got pushed one way and then other things another way. And it's like, if it would have been anything but ivermectin, like a fucking award-winning thing and this, that, and the other, I would have probably never even looked into it twice. But when you're speaking, when they got so crazy about how dangerous ivermectin was, I was like, come on.
Well, I mean, ivermectin's award-winning simply because of the fact that ivermectin's award-winning because of what it has done and the success it has had in fighting things like malaria. It's and the dangerousness of ivermectin is not that it's not that taking ivermectin in and of itself is dangerous. It's that telling people that they can deal with COVID by taking ivermectin when there was no evidence that ivermectin helps cure, prevent, et cetera, COVID is dangerous.
Well,
because
there was some lab tests done.
But none of them have been conclusive in showing that there was any. None of them. There's not been anyone that I've found when I've done it. Because look, I've been doing this podcast for a while, all during the pandemic, and none of them really. I've not found a single one that has shown that ivermectin was helpful in any way, shape, or form. So,
and I can't disagree with that.
The harm that is caused by the people pushing ivermectin is not somebody taking an ivermectin pill. I could probably take an ivermectin pill every day. It's not going to kill me. It's not going to harm me. But
sure.
But if I'm taking ivermectin under the false belief that I don't need to go get vaccinated, that I don't need to go, take other precautions like wearing a mask and socially distancing, then yeah, that's the harm. That's the harm. That's where the harm comes in, because that's people then get complacent and lazy.
Yeah, but then see, now you're taking it to the realm though of that, like, you got to count on people not being ignorant, or let's even take it a step further, being stupid. You know, like, sometimes we've got to have faith in people, to discern that, like, hey, if this is for a fish tank, I obviously shouldn't be taking this. Or like, hey, not only do I need to get, it all starts with hand washing and a face mask, and if you want to be vaccinated, cool. In my opinion, if you don't, cool. Everybody has to make choices for themselves. What I disagree with is the rhetoric that was surrounded around it. It's very simple to say that, hey, maybe there's a chance ivermectin works if it's the appropriate ivermectin, not this product or this product. Let's make a distinction. There's a difference between what ivermectin is and then these other things that do cause harm, right? But it wasn't that. It was ivermectin got grouped into those same things that were causing harm, and it's just now that people are even comfortable talking about it. It's just, what I'm saying? That's the point that I'm getting at. It truly was demonized for the few. And so I could flip that around and say, okay, well, with the vaccines, why don't I demonize the vaccines for the small percentage of people that are injured by it? I bet those numbers are proportionate. For every 1,000 people that are injured by a vaccine, I bet you for every 1,000 of people that took an ivermectin pill, that number would be the same for the one idiot who drank fucking chlorinated fish shit or whatever. You know what I mean? So what I see is as an apples to, I guess you could call it apples to oranges comparison, it still wasn't even, there was still so much, it was just disingenuous. There was too many people disingenuous about it, and I think that's what raises alarms. I'm just trying to give you the insight into like a center person that I try to live on both sides of left and right.
So somebody on the Twitch side wants to know if you have taken the vaccine.
No, I actually caught it while I was in a hospital stay, COVID, in 2022. I didn't even know I had it until they tested me to go for a surgery, and then I had to delay it. So this is what they did. I was getting ready to go in for a surgery. They delayed my surgery for 11 days. They transported me out of the room I was in instead of isolating me in the room. They transferred me down to a COVID ICU. I never had any symptoms. And then transported me from that hospital to another hospital in order to be in what do you call that, airflow room, the people came in
negative,
and like down.
Pressure.
But I literally came in contact with thousands of people through that transport, through one and another, right? Instead of them just leaving me in my room and then doing it from where I was at. So that's sort of the problem too. You have idiots that run facilities that don't actually do the day-to-day work, and they make decisions that don't make sense. They make it for the finances, right? So they should have isolated me in the room and then blah, 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 but instead they transported me through out of state to a different hospital to stay while I was waiting on the surgery in order to be isolated. But during that point to get me to isolation, I came in contact with at least 20 people and then however many people they came in contact with. You know what I mean? But then after that, I caught COVID the one time, and I haven't had it since then. I wore masks while I was at work. If I go around people and I feel like the vibe is, I'm in a very rural area, if you can't tell by the sound of my voice. But if people were wearing masks or if they asked me to, you know, like, hey, I'm uncomfortable, which, yeah, absolutely. Like, I'll definitely do it. Now, I don't see the mask as the end-all be-all. I saw too many people that don't wash their hands go around touching shit, and then they go touching their face with the mask. Like, to me, that was a bigger transmission hazard, improperly handling the mask and not cleaning your hands than actually having the mask on. So I think that it's a decision, just like with women, it should be left up to women and their doctors. I think COVID should be approached in much of the same way if people are making informed decisions. Now, if I was, you know, a diabetic or super overweight or 80 years old, would I put some more, you know, or had some like other, and I'm a paraplegic, so I have a pre-existing condition, but that doesn't, it's not one that amplifies the risk when it comes to COVID, right? So in my 30s, I made a conscientious decision that I wasn't sure. Like, so I made sure to wash my hands, you know, disinfect things, be conscientious in public. But I didn't know about these vaccines and stuff. I don't ever get flu shots either, you know, but I caught it the one time. I didn't even know that I had it until they tested me. I never had any symptoms. And that's been it for me, my story, you know. So
I mean,
but I'm not,
well, the thing is, though,
story,
that
if I was 80, I would really consider a vaccine. Or if I was, you know, not 190 pounds and I was 350 pounds, I probably would have considered the vaccine a lot harder. But I didn't have any comorbidities or any other things that would amplify the risk that I would catch from catching, you know, COVID.
Well, the thing I would say about that is this, and I do want to move on from ivermectin and COVID because that wasn't the intent of the show today.
But the thing
that I would say about that is that taking vaccines is not just for the benefit of the individual, it's for the benefit of the whole. People who are able to take the vaccine, like all vaccines, the more people do it, the more other people are benefited, especially those people who are immunocompromised.
Tell me how me taking a vaccine helps you. Tell me how me taking a vaccine helps you in any way.
Because it helps prevent the spread. So that's why we've seen like measles outbreaks happening now in Florida because they've laxed outbreak. They've laxed.
There was 35 cases for
right. And why did that happen?
Measles.
Because people have been balking at giving their kids vaccines because they've now been, you know, either scared of the false thing about the mercury or scared about the false thing of just taking vaccines in general. And so people were, the amount of people statewide who were taking vaccines statewide dropped as by percentage points. And because of that, you started seeing more and more people, you started seeing measles coming back. That's how it works because you have herd immunity that's generated by more people having more people being vaccinated, let me continue. The more people, like if I have COVID, if I do catch COVID with the vaccine, because the vaccine doesn't necessarily stop all strains, but it can help you with certain strains as well. If I'm vaccinated, I'm less likely to catch it. If I catch it, I'm less likely to be sick I'm less likely to have symptoms. If I have symptoms, I'm less likely to be sick as longer. I'm less likely to be hospitalized. I'm less likely to be put into the emergency room, et cetera, et cetera. So
the vaccine doesn't affect you one iota because it doesn't affect transmission. That's not how vaccines work. And I understand that they sold it that way for a long time. And people, you know, I understand that. What a vaccine does is it lessens the likelihood that you're going to die or that your symptoms are going to be as severe. They do not stop transmission, and they do not nothing like that at all, period. They don't stop you from catching it, period. So taking the vaccine is inconsequential. Now, herd immunity, I can be on board with that. I was on board with that. My idea
vaccine or the COVID vaccine particularly?
No, the COVID vaccine particularly. No, I'm not an anti-vax person by no means, but I am pro science and looking into things, you know what I mean, like beyond the surface level things and just what corporations say and what government published studies say. I listen to communities and then I watch how people have different opinions got shut down that were Harvard doctors. You know what I'm saying? It was just a very weird. So for me, I might have taken it if there wasn't all the hoopla around it. But anyway, with the COVID ones in particular, they sold it to us on a lie. It does not, me taking the vaccine, a COVID vaccine, you taking a COVID vaccine, it does not help anybody but yourself. And really, it should only be used for, because there are dangers associated with it, it should only be used for people that are at high risk, not our children. Our children weren't dying in droves, but they sure wanted to push it on the children. The people that were dying were the sickest amongst us, the oldest amongst us. There are cases, just like a man who runs his whole life at 36 dies of a heart attack, and a smoker can live till they're 60 and never have a heart attack. There are off cases where young people were, you know, I have family members and friends that died from this thing. I took it very seriously, but I take my own health seriously, and I take my own education seriously. And they sold the country.
I mean, according, again, I do want to move on. I do want to move on from this, but according to the CDC website, people who received the updated COVID-19 vaccine were 54% likely to get COVID-19 during the four-month period from mid-September to January. The vaccine provided similar levels of protection against XBB lineage variants and the JN1 variant. So, I mean, you may have your opinion on that, but the websites, the information, the source
CDC.
Of the information that I'm going to have to cut
yes.
you off, because we're going to go. I've given you a lot of time. You're welcome to call back next show or whatever. I didn't want to make the show all about COVID and ivermectin. I just was going to just running my little hypocrite of the week. I mean, I do appreciate your call, and you're welcome to call back other times, but I do want to move on to the other topics that I want to talk about today. There's plenty of evidence out there to show that COVID-19 vaccines make you less likely to catch the virus. If you catch the virus, you're less likely to, if you're less likely to catch it, it means you're less likely to transmit it. So the more people who have the vaccine, the less likely the vaccine is to be transmitted, because the less likely it is to be caught. So that's just how it works. And so I just really would hope that in doing some of whatever the research that you're doing, is that you would find some of these other websites. Because a lot of the time, a lot of the places that I'm looking at when it pertains to things like the saying that ivermectin is, you know, the same thing as Pfizer, and people calling it, like, you know, Pfizer-mectin, which is the first time hearing of it, is they're not the same. There's nothing chemically the same. Ivermectin is three atoms, carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. Pfizer's also contains chlorine, nitrogen, and sulfur. Merck's drug contains nitrogen, and the molecular weight is less than half of that of ivermectin. Structurally, too, the drugs bear no resemblance. Pfizer's 3CL protease inhibitor is nothing like ivermectin. An infectious disease specialist at University of Minnesota, Dr. David Boulware, however it's pronounced, says. So that's the point that I would make. So, again, I appreciate the call. You're always welcome to call back in. We're going to move on to another topic at this point. Yeah, Ichabod, dear. Ivermectin is HeartGuard for dogs. Ivermectin is in HeartGuard. Every time I get my dog heartworm medication, I see the ivermectin and I chuckle. Pam, I never got COVID. Of course, I avoided morons. I mean, I got COVID. I'm pretty sure. I'm 100% certain that I got COVID in January of 2020 before they had tests. So there's that. I also got COVID from my kid because they went back to school. And we were vaccinated, so I was feeling a little bit meh, but it was definitely nowhere near as sick as I felt when I had it January 2020, and then I caught it again off of a cruise, and I was the only one to get it off the cruise, and I basically stayed at my mother-in-law's house overnight when I had to go sleep there because I didn't want to get anybody else sick. And I have a feeling, I'm wondering, you know, people, they give us vaccines, they give us a vaccine shot or whatever, and they put the virus or the copy of the virus or whatever it is that they put into the body to generate the immune response. I'm wondering if you need more if you're a fat guy, because I'm heavier than my wife. I'm heavier than, obviously, than my kids. And I'm the only one who got it the last time. So I'm wondering if I need more vaccine or if I'm just thinking silly. So, yeah. And the last time I was on a cruise, I didn't get COVID. I got the flu. And I was actually kind of upset that I didn't get COVID and that I got the flu, because had I got COVID, I could have just gotten Paxlovid. And Paxlovid, like when I took Paxlovid after getting COVID on the cruise, it cleared me right up. And it was great. It was wonderful. It was definitely a much better than the other issues, than how I struggled after dealing with the flu. Like after taking Paxlovid, I didn't have the lingering cough that I deal with after getting an upper respiratory infection. So that was wonderful. SCH says you can also overdose on ivermectin, which can also cause nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, hypotension, allergic reactions, itching and hives, dizziness, seizures, coma, and even death. To that, I would say, if I sit here and drink too much water, I can die. So too much of anything is a bad thing. So there's that. But yes, you did raise a good point generally about that, speaking that, you know, my point was, is that if I took an ivermectin right now, it in and of itself isn't going to hurt me. And my point about that was that, the problem with the people pushing ivermectin wasn't the fact that, you know, taking ivermectin in and of itself was bad. And it wasn't like you were prescribing something that there were shortages of, although there was the potential of maybe where you could have created shortages for other people who might have needed it. The problem is that by giving people a false sense of security because they took ivermectin, they would stop doing the other things that they needed to do to protect everybody else in the pandemic. So, let's go back through the thing. No surprise that Daily News agrees with the caller. And look, I'm always happy to agree with them all. If there is a study that comes out in a year or two that says we were all wrong on ivermectin, ivermectin is the wonder drug, I will happily say we were all wrong. But just because we were all wrong about it, it doesn't mean that we should have taken it back then, because we should only follow the science. If there was no scientific evidence back then to show that ivermectin was helpful back then we shouldn't have taken it back then. Should follow what the science says. I mean, sometimes people find things in science by mistake, but, you know. Well, the one doctor who claimed to use ivermectin as a preventive medicine caught COVID but tried to hide that fact. Of course he did. Co-worker said Donnie was talking about ivermectin when he said bleach, told him nope, he said bleach. Well, technically, Mountain Lady, he said disinfectant. He didn't say bleach. He was talking about, you know, using disinfectant because they use disinfectant on, like, you know, outer things. And he said, what if we put disinfectant inside the body? Because he's an idiot. But there's lots of ways that Donnie is an idiot, so. Tim Farrell, Google Flat Earth. Put on a tinfoil hat and microdose ivermectin, you'll find the moon landing was faked by the Martians and Elvis. Let's see. In the news, you can overdose on any drug. However, when properly prescribed and taken, you avoid overdoses. But that's the thing. The drugs need to be properly prescribed and taken in overdose. Pam, hydroxychloroquine is used to treat lupus, but Dr. House would tell you it's not lupus. The one study in Brazil, they couldn't contact the participants in the study. Exactly, that's why the study was debunked. Let's see. Hold on a second. I'm being asked a question by a child. Yes? Why Probably not. I'll check it after the show, though.
Huh?
I'll check it after the show.
Okay.
It's raining, so I want to see if we need to move my car. I don't think it sounds like it's raining that hard, though. Let's see. Marie, pregnancy isn't contagious, but then again, kids are a sexually transmitted disease. It's the easy. They should not isolate people, then move them all around either. Yeah, that wasn't bright. I mean, there are some hospital systems that make not bright decisions. There's that one hospital system that's currently going bankrupt, which, you know, is crazy. And of course, I said it doesn't sound like it's raining hard, and now the rain just got harder. Lols. Ichabod Deer, based on polls in 2020, this time of the year and now, it's not looking good for Biden, especially in Georgia. I mean, but then again, you have 10% of like Republican primary voters who have said that they're not going to vote for Trump. So in those primary polls, so if Trump has lost 10% of his support, that's 73. So that's, he loses 7. So that's 60 something. So Biden would have to drop from 81 to 62, which means he would have to lose more than 20% of the vote. So, there is that. But it's really just a matter of the fact that the popular vote doesn't matter, because it just matters what states we're talking about. And it's not just Georgia that he needs to win. He needs Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, basically. That's the issue. If the first person Trump arrests when he becomes president again is Merrick Garland, I will mind a bit. Well, see, the first person that Trump wants to arrest is Joe Biden, which goes completely against his theory about presidential immunity, because he wants to arrest Biden for actions taken while president. And if presidents have presidential immunity, then what the hell is he doing claiming he wants to arrest Biden after he leaves office? Speaking of immunity, let's scroll. So Jeff Curry got all 5 boosters, still got COVID, had a runny nose for damn near 2 days. Scary shit. That's the thing. Yeah, after catching it with the vaccine, my symptoms were much, much, much better than the first time I had it in January 2020. So. Let's see. Welcome back, Jolie. I'm not going to be debating the whole why do I let people who I disagree with on the show argument again. Other hosts do it without problem and are successful with it. Dude does it live and has 3,000 subscribers. Very quickly, I might add, whatchamacallit, Hal does recordings of it and plays streamed recordings of it that last much longer than that phone call lasts sometimes. And again, you know, nobody complains. So I'll continue to debate and debunk conservatives, centrists, moderates, etc., over and over again, because I think I do it well. So what's up, Kim? Good to see you. The goddess Kimchi is back in the house. Ichabod Deer, Daily News is from the left coast, California. Pam says, my husband never caught COVID either. He was in and out of the hospital 12 times since fall 2020 for other issues, never caught it. Well, that's good. See, Trump missed the boat. He could have played Shinedown staring down the barrel of a 45 at rallies. He might have realized that they might have taken it too literally. You know. It is what it is. Sorry.
It is what it is.
So anyway, let's talk about the things I wanted to talk about for the show. We have moron Republicans assaulting abortion rights and body autonomy. So what are we talking about here? We have Marcus Silva. Who is Marcus Silva? Marcus Silva is a person who has sued a group of women after he alleged that they assisted his ex-wife in obtaining a self-managed abortion. A three-judge panel in the 14th Court of Appeals has said that the trial court's decision requiring the production of evidence via subpoena would violate the Fifth Amendment self-incrimination privileges and thus will be blocked from release. State Rep. Briscoe Kane and former Texas solicitor Jonathan Mitchell are the attorneys representing Silva. Silva's ex-wife, Brittany Silva, is not a party to the case. The three women involved in the procurement of the abortion pills are the individuals named who, quote, conspired with each other to murder baby Silva with abortion pills, and each of them is liable for the resulting death in the terms of the lawsuit. She faces no criminal liability and under either Texas or federal law. Moreover, her lawyers never produced a privilege log as is required by the Texas Rules of Civil Procedure. I'm confident that the Texas Supreme Court will correct the appellate court's mistake, Kane told the Texan. Under Texas pre-Roe statutes, a woman is to be regarded as the victim, not the perpetrator, in the event of an abortion. This was an argument presented at Dobbs v. Jackson. Texas courts had determined that the statutes against abortion did not apply to conduct committed by the mother, whether that conduct involving soliciting or hiring abortionists to perform the abortion or whether she did it herself. The original petition filed in a Galveston County court stated three women aided and arranged in the procurement of, quote, illegally obtained abortion pills for Silva's ex-wife that were used to, quote, murder baby Silva in July of 2022 in the civil suit. Silva is seeking $1 million from the women named in the suit on wrongful death claims. He also seeks the restraint of each of the women from distributing abortion pills or assisting in illegal self-managed abortions in Texas. Included in the filings are exhibits showing text message exchanges between the women and Ms. Silva, with links to the telehealth services and links for safe abortion or miscarriage treatment. Mentions of the two pills used in the chemical abortion, misoprostol and mifepristone, are detailed in the messages. After the civil lawsuit was filed in March 9th of 2023, Galveston County District Attorney Jack Rohde stated in March 22nd that his office determined that there were not sufficient admissible evidence to proceed with a criminal case. Following the month, Ms. Silva was served with notices of subpoena in relation to the civil suit. Ms. Silva fired counter motions to contend she should not have to comply with the subpoena requests. Silva's attorneys made requests for evidence regarding communications and records that led to possession of the drugs and all abortion-inducing drugs in Ms. Silva's possession, custody, or control. In September, Silva then filed a motion to compel Ms. Silva's compliance with the subpoena. In October, a trial court ordered that Ms. Silva must turn over the evidence in compliance with the subpoena's request. She appealed the decision. Additionally, on October 2023, a countersuit was filed by the three women represented by attorney Rusty Hardin. Later, last year, Russ Hardin was one of the lawyers tapped by the Texas House to represent the case of Attorney General Ken Paxton's impeachment. The countersuit claims Silva is not and was not morally opposed to Brittany's action. The evidence for this claim in the countersuit is where it is alleged that Silva had previously found the abortion pill in her purse, did not confront her about it, and instead put the pill back. He instead wanted to obtain evidence that he could use against her if she refused to stay under his control, which is precisely what he tried to do. Abortion activists have tried to alienate Mr. Silva and his friends. Kane told the Texan he's been confronted in public. He has now had people throw baby dolls in his yard. He is consistently attacked online and social media, as well he should. Their goal is obvious, to make him quit and give up the fight for his murdered child. The trial date is set for today, May 13th. Disclosure, unlike every other, blah, 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 blah. So, and let's see, the women, and this is from May 2nd. Women are accused of helping friend terminate her pregnancy, but now they claim her ex-husband, who brought the lawsuit, knew she obtained the medication, did nothing to stop her. So again, that kind of overviews the same thing. He knew what was going on, did nothing to stop it, didn't take the pill from her, didn't do anything. He instead let her go on with it and now is just intending to sue afterwards. So So, and this suit is just continues to go on. So we will see, I guess, how this case goes on in the Texas courts, but knowing the Texas courts as we do, as we've covered them on this podcast, nobody is going to be surprised when the courts agree with Mr. Silva and his ridiculousness in this particular case. But yes, dude, Pam says, dude was trying to control her by impregnating her and preventing her from leaving him. Exactly. And that's why he didn't take any action, because he was trying to use the facts of, oh, well, I know you have this pill and I know you have, you were trying to abort. So I'm going to use these facts against you and try and force you to stay with me. So, and I'll use these against you if you go ahead and go through with it. Well, she didn't listen. She terminated the pregnancy. It's now his ex, and now he's suing the people who aided and abetted in her body autonomy, which is sad that we live in a situation, we live in a country where there are states where people have to help you have your own body autonomy, which sucks. Robert M., baby fan of Boucherville? No, the woman took the abortion pill. Easy, use it to make money off. That's another thing I'd argue, is that instead of trying to prevent the abortion from taking place, he let the abortion take place and now is suing over it, so now he can make money. So, yeah, he's doing it for the money. That's it. As they say, hey, must be the money. So. she's the one giving birth. No, she's not. She had an abortion. She took the pill. It got yeeted. So, as it should be her right to do so. But the other thing I wanted to talk about, remember Katie Britt? Remember her horrible, from the kid, women should be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen, State of the Union response this year that was just terrible? Well, she is now sponsored a bill with Marco Rubio and Representative Kramer called the Moms Act. That's right. They came up with a clever name for the legislation. It is the Moms Act. Let's see, where's the name of it? There's the ahead of Mother's Day on this Sunday, U.S. Senators Katie Britt, Marco Rubio, and Kevin Kramer are introducing More Opportunities for Moms to Succeed Act, or Moms Act. So, surprisingly enough, they were creative about the title. This legislation would provide critical support to women during typically challenging phases of motherhood. So, let's read the bill, shall we? Being enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America and Congress assembled. This act may be cited as More Opportunities for Moms to Succeed Act or Moms Act. Table of Contents, the Public Health Service Act is amended by adding the following. Website no later than 1 year after the date of enactment of the section, the secretary shall publish a website entitled pregnancy.gov. The secretary may not delegate implementation or administration of the website below the level of office of secretary. The website shall include the following: a clearinghouse of relevant resources available for pregnant women and postpartum women and women parenting young children. A series of questions through which a user is able to generate a list of relevant resources of interest within a user's zip code. A means to direct the user to identify whether to list relevant resources of interest that are available within 1, 5, 10, 50, 100 miles. A mechanism for users to take an assessment through the website and provide consent to use the user's contact information, which the secretary may use to conduct outreach via phone or email to follow up with users on additional resources that would be helpful for the users to review. Resource list aggregation. In general, the Secretary shall invite each state to provide recommendations of relevant resources referred to in subsection A3 for each such state. Criteria for making recommendations. The Secretary shall develop criteria to provide to the states to determine whether resources recommended as described in paragraph 1 should appear on the website. Such criteria shall include the requirement that the relevant resources is not a prohibited entity. What is a prohibited entity? Well, we'll find out now, won't we? The Secretary shall provide grants to states to establish or support system that aggregates relevant resources referred to in subsection A3 in accordance with the criteria developed under paragraph 2, may be coordinated to the extent, blah, blah, blah. Applications to be eligible to receive a grant, the state shall submit an application at such time and such manner containing such information that the Secretary may require, including a plan for outreach and awareness, yada, yada, yada. Prohibition regarding certain entities. Relevant resources listed on the website and any additional resources promoted by the Secretary may not include any resource offered by a prohibited entity. No prohibited entity may receive a grant provided under subsection B3. I'm sure we'll get there, right? Services in different languages. Well, that's very mighty white of them to allow for services in different languages. Reporting requirements, no later than 180 days after the date in which the website is established under the section, the Secretary shall submit to Congress a report on the website traffic, the feedback on accessibility and helpfulness of the website to the user's needs, insights on gaps and relevant resources, suggestions on how to improve user experience, yada, 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 certification that no prohibited entities are listed as a relevant resources or are in receipt of a grant under subsection B3. Confidentiality, the report under paragraph 1 shall not include any personal identifiable information regarding individuals who have used the website. Authorization of appropriations, the definition in the section abortion means the use or prescription of any instrument, medicine, drug, or substance intentionally to kill an unborn child of a woman known to be pregnant or terminate the pregnancy of a woman known to be pregnant with intention other than after viability. To remove a dead unborn child or to treat an ectopic pregnancy, born alive, the term born alive has a meaning, blah, blah, blah. Prohibited entity, the term prohibited entity means an entity, including its affiliates, subsidiaries, successors, and clinics, that performs, induces, refers, or counsels in favor of abortions or provides financial support or any other organization that conducts such activities. So, of course, they're not going to list Planned Parenthood or anything else. They're just going to provide crappy crisis resource centers and other bullshit places that lie to women and other people who are pregnant to try and mislead them and get them to keep pregnancies that they do not wish to keep. Relevant resources, mentorship opportunities, health and well-being services, including women's medical services such as obstetrical and gynecological support services, women abortion pill reversal, breastfeeding, general health service, primary care, and dental care. See. Financial assistance, work opportunities, nutrition assistance, child care, educational opportunities for parents, maternal or legal support, including transportation, food, nutrition, clothing, house goods, baby supplies, yada, yada. I mean, that's not terrible. But still, you can't list places where they can go get help if the place also gives abortions because, you know, that's just evil. Recovery and mental health services, including services with respect to addiction or suicide, intervention, intimate part of violence, sexual assault, rape, sex trafficking, and counseling for women, family surrounding unexpected loss of a child. Okay, that's fine, but, you know, you're lumping it in with all the other BS. Prenatal diagnostic services, including a disability support organization, medical interventions for a baby, prenatal, perinatal hospice resources, pregnancy and infant loss reports, and literature on pregnancy wellness. Healing and support services for abortion survivors and their families. Services providing child care, adoption, foster care, short-term child care services and resources. How about make it easier for people to adopt? Comprehensive information on alternatives to abortion, you know, but no information on abortion. Information about abortion risks, including complications and failures, but, you know, I'm sure they're worried about, you know, I'm sure they're not going to care if it's honest or not. Links, let's see. Oh, they're just scared and need guidance through a wholesome, natural process of bearing a child conceived in rape. Exactly, Pam, on Twitch. And also Handmaid's Tale Act. Exactly. Turn unborn child has the meaning given such term, blah, blah, blah. Website. The term web. Why do we need to define the term website? At this point, that's stupid. Last on the list of licensed child placement agencies. I think we can skip that part. Although, actually, maybe not. Maybe let's just see. Just see if there's anything. If anything that's the loss of eligibility for adoption and legal guardianship incentive payments for failure to state to comply with list submission requirement. Well, that's just housekeeping of certain things. I don't know what it does. Improving access to prenatal and postnatal resources. The purpose grants under this session to support, encourage, and assist women to carry pregnancy to term and to care for themselves and their babies after birth. Good thing there's no apostrophe. To care for their babies after birth? I mean, why would you want to care for the afterbirth? Or no hyphen, I guess. Grants, the Secretary of War grants for eligible entities described in subsection B to provide information on referral to and direct services as described in subsection C. Eligible entities to be eligible for a grant has to be a nonprofit. Support, encourage, and assist women as described in A1. Agree to be subject to monitoring and review. Agree to not charge women for services to the grant. Provide each pregnant woman counseled through the grant with accurate information on the developmental characteristics of babies and of unborn children, including offering printed information, and have a privacy policy and procedures in place that the name, address, telephone number, and any other information that might identify any woman seeking services supported through the grant is not made public or shared with any other entity without written consent, and the grantee adheres to the requirements about HIPAA, blah, 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 blah. Ineligible entities, of course, you know, nobody who gives an abortion because abortions are evil, according to Katie Britton, Marco Rubio et al. Required information and referral for purposes described in subsection A1, an entity eligible receiving a grant shall use the grant to provide pregnant women and postpartum women or women parenting young children information and referral to each of the following services: medical care, nutritional service, housing assistance, adoption services, education and employment assistance, child care assistance, parenting education, voluntary substance abuse counseling and treatment, permissible direct provision of services for the purpose described in this subsection. In addition to using a grant under this section, an eligible entity receiving a grant under this section may also use the grant for the direct provision of one or more services listed in one. Again, you can't use it for abortions because, God damn it, we can't have abortions in this country because it's a horrible thing, even if it's legal in the state, because the stupid Hyde Act. Monitoring review. The secretary shall monitor and review each program funded through the grant to ensure that it adheres to the purpose and that they don't do abortions. Improving access to prenatal and postnatal telehealth care. I'm sure there's more abortion, yin-yang, or whatever. You know, when I first heard, let's see, unborn child support, state plan amendment, this is just a bunch of inserting stuff. Provide the state will establish and enforce child support obligation. Oh, this is the child support thing. Provide that the states will establish and enforce child support obligations of the biological father of an unborn child and subsequent to the birth of the child to the mother of such child, provided that the mother has requested payment of child support obligations and the start dates of such obligations may begin with the first month in which the child was conceived as determined by a physician and shall begin with that month if the mother so requests. Payments for such obligations may be retroactively collected or awarded, including in the case where paternity established subsequent to the birth of the child. The payment amount for such obligations shall be determined by the court in consultation with the mother, taking into account the best interest of the mother and child. Any measure to establish the paternity of a child, born or unborn, shall not be required without the consent of the mother. Any measure to establish the paternity of the child shall not be required. You're going to have a lot of men's rights activists who are not going to be happy with that part. As if I'm reading it correctly, any measure to establish the paternity of the child shall not be required. So are they saying that you can establish the paternity without that you don't need to actually get, like, you could, but the person can actually say this person's the father? So any measure to establish the paternity of an unborn child shall not be taken if the measure poses any risk or harm to the child if unborn. Let's see. For the purposes of paragraphs 4 and 35, the term unborn child means blah, blah, blah. All right. So that's the law. That be the law. And, of course, here's a there's a shorter just sort of explanation of it. Section 101, pregnancy.gov. Requires the Secretary of Health and Human Services to establish pregnancy.gov at clearinghouse of relevant public and private resources available to pregnant women within their zip code and surrounding areas, a national list of adoption agencies, list of funding opportunities available to pregnancy support centers, which does not include places that provide abortions, but include child pregnancy or, you know, whatever, crisis pregnancy centers, which are a bunch of bullshit organizations that just lie to women, improving access to pregnancy support, improving access to pre- and postnatal telehealth. Not necessarily going to disagree with this, except for the fact that it excludes, there are many places where the only provider of this type of care is Planned Parenthood. For example, you had situations back when Jeb Bush was the governor of Florida, when he defunded Planned Parenthood in the state, at least partially, but he defunded Planned Parenthood in the state. And abortion rates went up. Why? Because people didn't get the care that they needed previous to getting pregnant. But in certain areas of Florida, the only provider of prenatal health care, the only clinics available were the Planned Parenthood centers that then had to shut down because they couldn't get the funding. So if you're going to not give these places funding to help these patients with what they need help with, you're not going to have the desired results, especially when Planned Parenthood is the only one of these clinics in the near area, making it impossible for them to get the care that you're wanting them to get. And then, of course, the Unborn Support Act, the provision would require states to apply child support obligations at the time period during pregnancy. Requirement would be applicable retroactively based on court order at the request of pregnant women and determination by the physician of the month during which the child was conceived. Existing state requirements are applicable to these obligations, such as proof of parenthood. So the Moms Act is endorsed by the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America, Americans United for Life, March for Life Action, National Right to Life Committee, and Family Policy Alliance, which means it's full of shit. Simple as that. So now when I first heard about this legislation, and I heard that Katie Britt wanted to make a national database of pregnant women, the first thing I thought was they were going to be forcing, like, a database where, like, you had to report pregnant women to this database. So it seems that it's not necessarily a forced thing to do, but that you can voluntarily submit your information to this database and they can reach out to you if, however, Donald Trump did say that he wanted to keep tabs on pregnant women, right? He did say this. He did say that he wanted to, like, you know, monitor women and monitor their cycles and their periods or whatever or something like that. What is it? But let's just get the exact wording of it. Donald Trump. Trump says states might monitor pregnancies to track abortions. So one could only imagine that if Katie Britt manages to get this done, which she won't because it won't pass the Senate, and it won't pass the Senate, Biden won't sign it. But if this were to happen to become a thing, which it won't, but if it were to happen to become a thing, then it would lay the groundwork to create this database that could then be used by Trump in a Trump presidency if he were to get elected, to then collect all the information that the states would collect on pregnancies and put that information in there, because you already have the database available. You could just shove the information in the database that you've now collected And now you're able to keep track of all the pregnant people and then be able to say, oh, well, you're no longer pregnant. What happened? And then they'll be able to check in on them and, you know, hey, excuse me, Mrs. Smith, are you still pregnant? No, what happened? Did you give birth? Did you have a miscarriage? Did you get an abortion? Oh, you're under arrest. Sorry. That's what this legislation ultimately will lead to. Because this is helping to create, this would help to create the infrastructure available so that Donald Trump could move on and continue on with his Project 2025 bullshit. Exactly. To a roundup of women who have had abortions. Thank you, Robin. Appreciate you. Thank you for the super sticker. Let's scroll back. Robin M. Eat the afterbirth. Daily News asks, why is it women's autonomy when they want to abort, but when they choose to keep it, it suddenly becomes child support from the father? Because it's two different things. And I think we've discussed this before. It's the autonomy of the person who's pregnant, the patient, simply because they're the one gestating. They're the one taking on the additional risk. But once born, the responsibility then becomes on both of the parents to raise and support that child. Right? It's not just. So, for example, there are cases where the father takes and raises the child, and the woman is the one who is required to pay child support. Those cases have happened. They don't happen as much as, you know, you might see them because we still live in a patriarchal society that keeps track of antiquated gender roles that state that the woman is the person who raises the child and the father is the person who takes care of the child. And as such, if you're going to continue to perpetuate and maintain archaic gender roles, you're going to continue to perpetuate the idea that the woman should raise the child and the man should care for the child financially. And as such, it's the woman who's going to get custody and it's the man who's going to get child support or who's going to pay child support. But if you eliminated those antiquated gender roles, you would then see a more co-equal version of parenting. The one has nothing to do with the other. End of Planned Parenthood. I mean, I don't necessarily think it's the end of Planned Parenthood, but it's just more anti-Planned Parenthood and trying to funnel more federal money into these crisis pregnancy centers, which are just lying BS centers. And yes, Planned Parenthood does not do just abortions, but they don't care about that. As I said, when it came to the whole Florida thing, by cutting off funding to Planned Parenthood, you often cut off services to the people who need them because Planned Parenthood is often the only clinic in the area that provides the other services that Planned Parenthood provides. Bicycle Mike, Planned Parenthood is for women's health. Incorrect. Planned Parenthood can also give men's health as well. Pam, they're trying to stall a woman from getting an abortion until she's after the time she can use the abortifacient. Exactly. And then there is a local New Orleans-based CPC that did that. There was a story in the Gambit from a long time ago where they actually did that thing. They had this woman. She called in. She believed she was calling someplace that would enable her to get an abortion. They let her on, and it got to the point where it was too far into the pregnancy and she could no longer obtain the abortion. And they screwed her over. If she would have just been able to get in contact with the regular abortion clinic, she would have gotten it taken care of. A lot of churches and rehab centers turn away addicts. Yeah, and a lot of places like crisis, they might very well turn away other people who might not need I didn't see necessarily anything in that particular legislation that would say what would happen to any one of these places receiving federal grants if they turned away somebody for a reason that, like, you know, a discriminatory reason. What if they turned away a trans man who was pregnant? What then? So, Robin M, where's my pot? I don't know. Share it once you get it. Bicycle Mike, fetuses have no human rights. Well, they shouldn't, but unfortunately we have the Gestapo-esque, Gilead-wanting GOP that wants to make the fetuses have more rights than the patient carrying them. Tim Farrell, pets are bad too. You have to provide references, including from a vet to adopt a cat who is near being euthanized. Oh, Tim, I've done a show on that too. Trust me. When we were trying to get a new pup, before we found Blanche, I was trying very hard to get an animal from a shelter or whatever. Oh my God, it was ridiculous. They were like asking so many intrusive questions as to why they couldn't find information from our dog's medicine. I'm like, I don't know, maybe they lost it. Shut up. They asked, it was horrible. I got to the point where I just gave up and I went to a breeder. And I was like, all right, I went to the breeder and I got the dog from the breeder. And I said, all right, well, at least in this particular case, I'll be taking a dog out of the breeding cycle. And actually turned out to get lucky because the dog we got turned out having swimmer's pup, which is like swimmer's legs or whatever, meaning that she probably wasn't going to be able to breed anyway. And then it only cost us the deposit. So, and I got a very cute dog who has no problem with her hind legs anymore for the most part. Yeah, and Kim also makes a very good, the goddess Kimchi makes a very good point to Daily News that I also make many times about the people who are complaining about the horrible women who want to abort their kids and or force them to pay child support, which is maybe you should know the people you're having sex with and determine whether or not they agree with you on abortion or child support before having sex with them. Knowing full well that they have every right to change their minds in many, many states, at least still, hopefully, and hopefully more states once, you know, we get a competent Supreme Court back at some point. But, you know, the arguments that come from a lot of the people who will argue from a so-called pro-life standpoint. I've had this happen many a times where you have an argument with somebody who complains about, well, if I have to be forced to pay the child support, then I should have a say in whether or not there's an abortion that takes place. And that's where it starts. And they'll have that discussion and they know full well that they're not going to win that argument. So at the end of the argument comes, well, if I don't have a say in whether or not the person can have an abortion, then I shouldn't be forced to pay child support. And that's the whole point of the argument there. That's the whole reason why they have that argument, is to make the argument of, well, I shouldn't have to pay child support if you get to terminate without my input, which is a BS argument, but you know. Hold on. Why are you not clicking?
It is what it is.
Thank you, Donald. Kim, keep your rosaries off my ovaries. Exactly. Eazy-E, they should aid the women and make maternity leave 100% legal. They should not just make, they should make maternity and paternity leave covered. 12 weeks for both. For all parents, even when they adopt, to make sure that they can care for both. Especially, you know, when, you know, you're your spouse gives birth, you should be able to be there for your spouse. Wolf Jolgabrain, prayer is the answer. We'll have a hope that is answered despite the fact that now I'd be covered mentally. Sorry, trying sarcasm. I think this is garbage. LOL. I actually agree with the child support for the dad at time of conception. It's just a matter of, like, the wording of it is kind of weird in that it seems like they don't have necessarily have to prove who the father is before giving the child support, and I think they should have to prove that. But other than that, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Let's see, it said, meet his mom on back, and they all got together and said, do you think we should sell that at a store? George was like, ask the Channers, blah, blah, blah. Oh, okay. Dean Baker, why don't we monitor erections? Some might be too small to see. Let's see. Hold on, let's scroll back up. There we go. We're back to where I was. I don't agree with government interfering with the privacy of patient-doctor relationship and medical records. Well, then we should not have anything involving abortion then. Mandatory vasectomy is a puberty only reversed when your legal wife's signature, LOL. What if you get married to a man, Kim? That's the problem. I mean, I guess if you get married to a guy, you don't necessarily need at that point to get anybody pregnant, but still. What if you get married to a trans man? Then you don't have a wife, you have a husband, but the trans man still might want you to get him pregnant. I'm not saying that sarcastically or mean. I'm saying that seriously. There are trans men who get pregnant. That could be my Atlanta friend. Hold on. I'm still scrolling through my YouTube chat. Dan proving Kim's point. Hopefully in a good way, yes. PB, Kim, proud Dem, yes, working with his band, but blah, 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 blah. I would ask her to guarantee no one knows the information about the pregnancy center. Government can never get access to the information except for relevant services. That's 434. Who's 434? Let's scroll down to see who's calling it as 434. Oh, is that Khalil? I think that might be Khalil.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on? Is this Khalil?
Yeah, it's him.
Hey, what's going on, Khalil? How's it going?
Nothing much. Pretty good. I'm getting ready to go to a first responder torch run with Special
uh-huh.
Olympics.
Oh,
June
cool.
the 7th. Yep.
Very nice.
Hoping I enjoy myself.
I hope so, too. How have you been? Haven't talked to you in a few weeks.
Pretty good.
That's good. Good to hear. Yeah, there was about a week or so where Blog Talk Radio crapped the bed again, and I couldn't have calls to begin with because I couldn't call in myself. And then, you know, it's been crazy here, down here. But, you know, it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. You said
what
you're from Maryland,
going on?
Right?
What?
Nothing much. You said you're from Maryland, right?
I'm initially from Maryland, yeah. Initially,
yeah.
I haven't...
I'm originally from Washington, D.C.
Cool. So what else has been going on with you?
Nothing much. I'm trying to, you know, I'm hoping to spend the night in Richmond when I go. And I'm also hoping that I make another friend before going.
Cool. Anything else going on politically wise or police wise or anything?
That's basically it as far as police and stuff like that wise. You know, the first responder, law enforcement, church run. But as far as political, I'm not in the political group anymore. But I was. But I'm going to still come up with ways to help, you know, curb gun violence.
All right, very cool. Well, I still think your guns to guardrails idea is an excellent one. I think it has promise. I hope it takes off one day.
Thank you. I also found out to get rid of firearms that have been used by criminals. Also, if you make it spark, like a shower of sparks, it can melt down the pin.
Huh. Interesting.
So, yeah, things in Virginia are going okay.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yep. Have a good day.
All right, man. Well, you have a good rest of your night, and I'm going to just probably finish reading through the chat, and then once I'm done with that, I'll probably be ending the show. But it was good talking to you. Good hearing from you, man. Stay in touch, all right?
All right, thank you.
All right, have a good one. I'll put you on hold. All right, friend of the show, Khalil, everybody. Thank you again for calling in. Let's scroll back and see where I was. Jeff Curry, three greatest trilogies, Porky's, Back to the Future, and Smokey and the Bandit. I might have some arguments to be made there, but, you know, hey, whatchamacallit, you know, tastes are subjective, right? See, just off the wall, what happens if both baby and mother dies? How do you deal with that or vice versa? Will they make the survivor pay? Who knows? I don't know. I mean, probably not. Probably it's because I think there has to be a request for the support. 909 caller, I see you. Hold on. If you haven't put your name in the chat, put it there in the YouTube chat, put it there. Let's see. Yeah, Dan's way behind in chat, kind of like Trucker John. Yeah, I mean, I had to scroll back way back because I was ranting for a good bit. So that happens when I rant for a good bit. I have to scroll back and then make my way forward and fast forward through a bunch. 90% of the oil defense industry is GQP. Biden, DOJ, antitrust prevent two of the largest supermarket chains from merging. Keep your competition strong. Best president, and we might lose him. Unfortunately, that's true. I thought we might lose him. Hopefully we won't. I'm thinking that we won't, but... it's tough. There, you know, never underestimate the stupidity of the American voter. scrolled too far. Pro-life people are like kids who want a dog. They don't want to feed, walk, or pick up the poo or pay for the services, yet they want to force this fantasy on the rest of us who live in reality. Yep. Let's see, we know you're just asking questions, shtick. Yeah, that's from whosamacallit, Mr. I lost $1 billion lawsuit guy. Came out late on top of family medical leave. My work gives a free 8 weeks maternal, 4 weeks for parental and same-sex relationships as well. Married or not married, happy. That's very awesome. Some mushrooms need magnification, says Kim. and Big Hook. Check your registration for voting. Republican strategies deny you your vote. Have all your papers ready in case someone challenges you. Your vote is going to make the difference. We talked about that definitely. I think it was in Iowa. The Iowa, you know, if people can challenge you up to 70 days out of the election. You need to make sure that your voting registration is valid and not challenged. So that's definitely something that needs to happen. Oh, you're 909. All right. We'll bring you on. Hey, what's going on?
Hello.
Hey, it's good to hear from you. I know. How are you feeling?
Better, moving along with my physical therapy. So who knows, maybe in a year or two. You
know. Sometimes physical therapy can take a long-ass time, so I'm glad to hear that it's progressing, though. So.
Yeah, definitely. How's the wife?
She's doing well, considering, you know, that this is her first Mother's Day without her mom. So,
that's got to be hard.
Yeah. So it's been tough, but I tried to make it a good one for her. So.
I know you did. You're sweet like that.
I try to be.
I won't tell anybody.
Yes, our secret. Don't tell anybody that we're on streaming on the internet about.
Exactly. Yes, I was just saying it's nobody's business between a patient and a doctor what procedures they discuss that need to be performed or would like to be performed. Of course, if it's, you know, something that's, I don't know, cosmetic that insurance doesn't cover. But, I mean, all health insurance should cover all medically, determined to be needed procedures, you know, whatever – abortion, you know, if you've got gangrene on your foot, you need it chopped off or whatever. It should be nobody's business between, you know, just you, the doctor, and the insurance company, and that's it. And this whole business about government getting involved, you know, telling people, you know, what they can and can't do with a doctor. Obviously that started with Roe because that's initially what the case was about as far as privacy goes, not necessarily abortion, but just the privacy that she, you know, should have had with a doctor and nobody else getting involved. And, you know, so it's not my business what, you know, Shelley down the street does with her doctor and procedures that she has. I don't agree with abortion, but that's none of my business what she does, you know. That's just the way it goes, or with any other procedure. So I don't think anybody should be involved. And I think government should get their big noses out of that. Our health care and the procedures that we have as human beings, you know, it's just a privacy issue, I think.
I mean, yeah, I think if a doctor feels that a certain procedure or prescription or whatever is right for you, then they should be able to prescribe it. Like, you know, why I support, you know, medicinal marijuana. Like, you know, I think marijuana should be legal regardless. But, you know, if a doctor feels that, you know, marijuana is right for you, they should be able to prescribe marijuana for you. If a doctor feels that, you know, abortion is going to save your life, there shouldn't be a state getting in the way of you being able to save your life. And you shouldn't have to flee a state to and risk getting sepsis along the way to do it. To me, that should be the conservative standpoint. And I don't, to me, you know, conservatives have lost their way on that. And
I don't know what they're doing. I mean, it's just both parties are a mess as far as in Washington, as far as politicians go. The people know what they want. The people show it in the polls when they show that, you know, Republicans are not opposed to abortion. And, you know, the polls will show that, you know, you have X amount of people that not necessarily support it, but they're not opposed to it. And that goes, but Washington doesn't listen. You know, they play these games with the people and get people hyped up. On the right, you know, saying, you know, this is, how can you take a life? You know, this is about God and everything else. And while these guys are having affairs and doing everything else, you know, behind the curtains and not exactly obeying God's law themselves, you know, but they can preach it all day long. So yeah, that's wrong. I also think that, you know, if you're going to medical school and you want to, become a doctor that, is an expert in that field as far as making sure that women's health is, you know, tip top after, before, and, you know, in between a procedure that way. So that way you can have a general practitioner, your primary care, refer you or you go see that person. So that way that person has been trained, knows about it, knows what to do and everything about the woman's parts as far as, you know, from beginning to end. And the general practitioner or primary doesn't have to sacrifice his, you know, whatever he believes or anything else. It's just like, okay, so this is the procedure you like. You have to come see me because of the insurance. No problem. I'll just refer you to Dr. So-and-so or, you know, so-and-so clinic or whatever. Write the prescription for the referral and let her be on her way. And,
right.
You know, why can't there be a profession with that? You know, why does it have to be this doctor performs this? Don't say nothing. Or
yeah.
Physician assistant, you know, does this. It's like, it shouldn't be a dirty word. It's a profession, and they have to go to school for it. So nobody should put those people down.
No, not at all. All right.
Anyway,
well,
I just
wanted
to comment, give my 2 cents. Thank
you.
Oh,
good. I mean, I'm glad the people got to hear it because, you know, it's I like showing when people, this is, you know, we disagree on things, but we agree on that. And that's another thing that I like to show, that, you know, we can find sides where we agree, and we clearly agree here. So,
mm-hmm. And we can agree for different reasons. We don't have to agree for the same reasons, but the point
right.
is, like you said, the end goal, we agree.
Yes. And and I'm glad to hear your voice. I'm glad to hear you call in, and, you know, I'm glad you're doing much better than you were after the accident. So, you know, call in more often.
I will. Thank you. I'll have to have you as a guest on my show. I'll have to get
we'll
in touch with you after hours. Okay,
yes, so shoot me. You know my email, so shoot me an email, and I'll try to make sure to check in more often.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
All right. You too. Bye. See, sometimes I make the mistake in thinking that when I see daily news, I think it's the husband bringing a boy. But no, this time it was his better half. So. Let's see. Pam says, I saw that there was a consumer confidence report that 74% of Americans are content with their present situation economically. That does bode well for Biden, but happy people don't always show up to vote. That's true. Yeah. The squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? So but the happy people need to show up and vote, because if they're happy, they need to say, hey, I'm happy. Continue doing what you're doing. Or, you know, that's the thing, is that I think the more the Republicans continue to double and triple and quadruple down on abortion, I think the more the people are going to continue to come out and vote. And that's the one thing I think that it's bizarre why Republicans keep trying to push this. It's like, we won, we're going to continuously keep spiking the ball about it, which is going to keep reminding the Democrats why they lost and why, you know, why they need to come out and vote. Whereas if they shut up about it, you know, maybe some people would be like complacent again. Who knows? Let's see. Conservative women would seem rather short-sighted if they want their cheating husbands to have to provide their mistress's baby's income that will be eliminated from their household because they don't believe in divorce either. Yeah. Eazy-E, the Texas abortion law should be unconstitutional. Well, it should be. But it, unfortunately, I don't think it would be ruled unconstitutional, simply because of the fact that, I mean, I think it's unconstitutional in that it goes too far. B, I'm, you know, supportive of abortion rights regardless. You know, I think, you know, I don't think people should be prevented from getting abortions. Again, I think it's between the doctor and the patient, as we just described. But the intent of, they can state all day long that the intent of the law was that a doctor should be able to perform an abortion in the situations where they did not perform abortions for the particular patients that are trying to sue the state of Texas. They can state that to the blue in the face, but Ken Paxton, the state attorney general, was still going to fight and sue the people if they performed the abortions, because the patients were not in a situation where it was life-threatening, even though there was no way that the pregnancy was going to continue. There was no way that this is a fetus that was going to survive. And at some point, it was going to be life-threatening. So why would you force the person to risk sepsis just for that? that's, if you're going to have an abortion ban with exception to save the life of the patient, you need to have it to where the patient doesn't have to wait to be on death's door to have their lives saved. And unfortunately, that's the way the law is currently being written and interpreted in both in Texas. And since it's written that way in Texas, the Louisiana law is written the same way. You'll have to deal with the same problems in Louisiana as well. So, Mountain Lady, in my opinion, I feel a person can have faith, but also be pure choice. I know many with that mindset. I mean, my mother-in-law was somebody, she insisted when she passed away that she wanted to have a mass. She was a Catholic woman. I mean, she didn't go to church frequently, but I mean, she believed in God. But her opinion on abortion was that, you know, she didn't believe in it herself, but that it wasn't her choice. She didn't feel that she had any business making anybody else's decision for them, and that it would be between them, their doctor, and their God. So, and that's all it was for her. That's how she felt. So and there are plenty of people of faith who, I mean, we can get into a religious topic of it as well. There are Jewish people. Chad, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Appreciate you. I clicked on the list. They said, let's celebrate their first Super Chat on a live stream. That's your first Super Chat ever? That's awesome. I appreciate that. That's your first one. That's awesome. I can heart it. So there you go. I clicked on the let's celebrate the first Super Chat on a live stream, and the first thing I got was, put this user in timeout. I'm like, no, I don't want to put the user in timeout. I want to appreciate the fact that that's their first Super Chat. Appreciate you. But like, according to Jewish law, like in the situation like that the people in Texas were facing, like under Jewish law, they're required to get an abortion. It's not a choice; it's a requirement to get an abortion. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts. You have to save your own life in that case. There's no choice. Now, I'm not saying that should be the law of the land. But it's the Texas law is a violation of a Jewish person's belief system. It's a violation of their sincerely held belief. If you're going to force somebody to not get an abortion, I'm waiting for that to happen, for a Jewish person to have to bring a lawsuit about that and say, you're violating my religious beliefs. This is a sincerely held religious belief. My religion requires me to abort when my life is threatened. And my life is threatened. So therefore, this is a sincerely held religious belief, and therefore you're interfering with my First Amendment right to practice my religion. See how that goes. Put that back on them. See how they deal with that. But, you know, I can't do that because, you know, I can't get pregnant. So, and I don't know if I would be able to make the argument that a religious belief is sincerely held, considering the fact that, you know, I just had bacon today. So, but even then, Jews don't believe that the embryos are lives. Jews call the embryo mere water and believe that the fetus, while it may have value, it's not the same as a born person. So, PB, the Bible isn't anti-abortion. Religious people need to STFU about it. That's also true. There's no mention of real abortion in the Bible. It's either the Mishnah or the Talmud that describe the biblical interpretation of what one must do in the situation of a pregnancy that's life-threatening. And the rabbis said that you basically to give you a Hebrew or a Jewish, both a Hebrew lesson and a Jewish religious lesson. The Jewish religion considers a unviable life-threatening pregnancy to be what is called a rodef. A rodef is another word for a pursuer. So if somebody is pursuing you and is threatening you, you're allowed to defend yourself, and you're allowed to use deadly force to protect yourself and protect your life and protect the lives of others. So, in this case, the fetus is the rodef, the pursuer, who's threatening to hurt you or harm you or kill you. So therefore, you're allowed to terminate the fetus without any moral question, because you're allowed to save, you're required to save your own life. Not just allowed to, required to. So, and Nick Rich, yes, there's also the whole first breath equals living thing is under Jewish law, which I don't understand why Christianity retconned it, but there's also another thing that there's also another thing where if an infant dies within the first month of living, there's no requirement to have a 7 days sitting Shiva or whatever, because the baby's not considered to be fully alive even a month afterwards. So there's that too. What's up, Paulina? Good to see you. Thank you for joining. Miss you. Love seeing you on this side too. Paulina's over there on the Twitch channel as well. Let's see. It's also a violation of an atheist rights too. Of course, those who don't believe that life begins at conception. Well, I mean, Jews also are in that boat where people don't believe life as at conception. But the Dobbs v. Jackson ruling technically wasn't a religious-based belief. It was just this belongs in the states because abortion isn't stated in the Constitution. But that just, ignores the Ninth Amendment, because as we all know, the Ninth Amendment says the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. And as such, you cannot say that there's no right to an abortion, because the Ninth Amendment tells you specifically that that argument is dumb. So Alito makes a dumb argument. Thank you, Mountain Lady. Appreciate you. So Ichabod Deere, SCOTUS is considering hypothetical presidential immunity, an unprecedented thing for the first time, a hypothetical. I mean, it'll be interesting. I mean, once they come down with that ruling, I'm sure I'm going to want to have a show that's going to be a live reaction to that ruling if it does anything other than kick it back to the lower courts. And even if they kick it back to the lower courts, if it still does something, that's more than just kicking it back to the lower courts. I'll still want to do a surprise show about it as well, just to let you know. Robin M., RODEF, RODEF would be the English transliteration of the term. RODEF. Let me spell it in chat. So the current SCOTUS is anti-constitutional, at least the majority is. Absolutely. 100% agree. Paulina, yes, tell the Republicans. Well, I'm trying to tell the Republicans every day. But, I need more people to listen. Godzilla versus RODEF. Dean Baker, hilarious. A little yawny bit there. Oh, it's already 10. Wow. Not expecting to go this long. I was expecting this to be an hour show, because I wasn't expecting to have a full-on long chat about ivermectin. But, it happens. Sometimes we go off topic.
It is what it is.
Thank you, Donald. Sometimes we go off topic later in the show about random stuff. Sometimes we go off topic early in the show because I do a hypocrite of the week for something. Is there a line that we can call to tell SCOTUS that we don't want to give Trump immunity? You probably have to call one of Justice Thomas's billionaire backers and try and get a line to him, I guess. Let's see. There is a reason why women don't tell others they are pregnant until a certain stage when testing can verify a possible happy, healthy baby. Yeah, I mean, we dealt with 2 miscarriages simply because of the fact that, and we didn't tell anybody until there was a possible pregnancy until after we, about the other 2 pregnancies, especially after our second pregnancy that was successful. we didn't tell. We wanted to make sure that the pregnancy was developing as normal. Like, we didn't say, hey, there was a missed period. Oh, there was a positive pregnancy test. No, we wanted to make sure that there was that everything was kosher, so to speak, before we announced to the world that, oh, here's the, hey, we brought home a souvenir from Disney World, which is exactly how we announced it to the world. Is like, we posted the picture of the ultrasound, and we're like, here's our souvenir from Disney. Here's Darth Maul's child. I think I discussed that on a previous show. If I haven't, I'll discuss that on a later show. Do I do the kosher? No, I said earlier I ate bacon earlier today, so no, I do not do the kosher. I am a bad Jew. I mean, I married a Catholic woman. What do you want? My kids are cashews. See, Gen Kloschner has a video about how each of us could raise a complaint about Cannon's unsuitability to be a judge. That's interesting. I would definitely like to see that. Big Hook also just put in, Kirshner is directing people to complain in the 11th Circuit that Cannon is unfit to handle the stolen documents case. Yes, Eazy-E, cashews. Half Catholic, half Jewish. Cashews. Let's see. Let's look that up. Glenn. Helps if I type correctly. Kirshner, complain, 11th Circuit. Do. Let's see. Fired. Get ahead. In a few minutes, but first. All right, so let's see. Lord, because he's still making the argument. We all know that Cannon is biased. We all know that Cannon is terrible. She can't handle the case, and she's biased. The form. Like 90210. A baseball player? I know. I wonder, I mean, there's more information on this, and we can go ahead and let me briefly just close this off. I'll give you a link to the tweet that has a link to this in the chat, and both PB beat me to it, but here's a link to the tweet. I'll put that in both. And here's the thing that I would say, that one thing that I don't think he covered as to whether or not you should do it or not, is if you're going to print something out and sign it, you probably want to do it on legal paper. So like, it probably has to be 8.5 by 14 and not 8.5 by 11, but I might be wrong. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, but it may very well behoove you to look up whether or not this has to be filed on 8.5 by 14 in order to be accepted or not. The reason I'm saying that it's fresh in my head is because we have to print out and file something, and it has to be done on legal paper as well, pertaining to the executorship or the administration of my mother-in-law's estate and assigning Cassie to it, et cetera, et cetera. So I appreciate, Eazy-E, that you thought I was an attorney. There are attorneys who have said that I have a good understanding of the law for a layperson, but I have not. I don't have a law degree. I haven't went to law school. But I do like to think that I do have a really good understanding of the law, which is why I, you know, I'm pretty good at guessing who wrote what, especially when it comes to Alito rulings. Yeah. Good night, Pam, over on Twitch. Good to see you. Thank you for joining. Let's see. Worgen Claw, 1985, says, the concentration of unchecked executive and judicial power makes me worry right now. Also, completely thought continuous resolutions are also really disruptive. Yeah, I mean, there should be checks on all three branches of power. The unchecked power in the Supreme Court, I think, is the most problematic. The checked power on the executive, I mean, there's only so much. I mean, the Supreme Court has been checking a lot of Biden's power recently, and I think they've gone too far checking some of Biden's power. But there is some unfortunate things. And I think one of the problems that you'll see with it, if Trump wins the presidency, he already has Supreme Court. And if Trump gets enough votes to win the presidency, he'll likely win the House and the Senate too, because he'll, in order to win the presidency, he'll probably have had to get the support, or Biden will have to have lost the support in order for Trump to get both the House and the Senate too, in which case we're screwed. And in which case there will be no checks on the power of Donald Trump, and he'll be able to be a dictator, not just for the day one, but for life. So, Jeff Curry, as far as you know, you still hold the record for stolen bases. Interesting. See, Eazy-E, the half Catholic part should know that. I'm not half Catholic. My wife is Catholic. My kids are half Catholic. So, does anyone think the polls are real? You hear polls that you like and you want to be optimistic about them, and then you hear polls that you dislike and you want to shrug them off. So it's kind of like you have to take the polls with the appropriate amount of grains of salt, while understanding that they may have some truth to them as well. That's the way I'm approaching it. So, let's see what else. Don't think there's anything else. Be afraid of the big bad boogeyman Trump. I mean, he said he wants to be dictator on day one. I don't know anybody in history that's only wanted to be dictator for one day. And when you campaigned on using anti-Semitism, anti-Muslim bigotry, anti-Mexican bigotry in 2016, why would I think you've changed? When there's lots of issues with Trump, but there's also lots of good things with Biden. His student loan thing, first and foremost, in my mind, because it helps me immensely. It's, again, saving me almost 30 grand over the course of the next few years. So thank you, Biden, for that. So, but there's also other things, too. And there's on the whole abortion issue. If you really believe that abortion rights, that the Republicans have gone too far on abortion rights and stripping away body autonomy rights, then you can't let the Republicans gain an inch more power until that's resolved. So, Worgen Claw, independent voting third party, again, this is probably voting third party. What state do you live in, Worgen Claw? That's my question. What state are you living in? Because I live in Louisiana. So I'm a Democrat. I live in Louisiana. So I'm screwed either way, because my Electoral College votes go towards Donald Trump. I have no choice. Simple as that. You're in Colorado. Your Electoral College votes are probably going towards Biden. So you voting third party really probably doesn't hurt anything. So go right ahead. Vote for third party. It's the states that matter that are the problem. And people say, you know, if you get rid of the Electoral College, you end up with flyover states. We already have flyover states. I live in one. Because nobody cares about Louisiana, because we all know Louisiana will vote for Trump. So why would Biden bother coming here except for maybe fundraising amongst any rich Democrats that are here? There's no reason for Biden to come here, any other reason, except to maybe campaign and try and help out and win districts, especially if we get a second, finally drawn Democratic district that will help the Democrats regain Congress, as is required by this ruling by our state Supreme Court that says, yes, we have to redraw these maps. So Daily News, you can't have it both ways. Trump lies about everything. You don't believe anything he says, or Trump's on day one says he's going to be a dictator. I don't think that he lies about everything. I believe him when he says that he believes that he can walk up onto people and grab them by the hoo-ha. I believe him when he says that if Ivanka wasn't his daughter, that he'd date her. I believe a lot of the things that he says. I believe him when he said that he thought that there were airports in the 1790s. So, anyway. Oh, that's right. You wanted me to check that. So let's vote problem, Fulton County. Missing votes. Let's see what comes up. If there's anything that comes up. AP News. We'll go to the AP News article. Working Call 1985. This is the world we live in. Oh, these are the hands we're given. Oh, use them and let's start trying. Oh, to make this a place worth fighting for. Sorry. All right, come on. Where is this link? I'm about to touch my ear thing because it's falling out. Nope, I knew it was going to start. I knew the music was going to start early. I don't want it to start early. Okay, missing 2020 poll tallies in Georgia. Don't prove 20... hold on. Okay, you're saying 380,000 votes missing. Georgia, 380,000 votes missing. I'm not seeing that. So claim, a public records request revealed that 20,713 votes that were included in the 2020 election night tally do not exist. AP's assessment falls. A complaint submitted to Georgia's State Election Board in July 2022 includes an email from Fulton County stating that the ballot tabulator results or poll tapes printed on election day do not exist for 10 machines. But poll tapes are just part of the paper trail that documents the vote, which is also recorded on memory cards and in official statements released by Georgia counties, among other procedures. Three separate counts of Georgia's votes all found similar results in Fulton County, with then-candidate Joe Biden winning both the county and in the state each time. Although 2024 election is well underway, social media posts questioning results of 2020. Fulton County counted 20,713 votes that did not exist in the 2020 election, according to the public records request, reads one post on X, formerly Twitter. Trump lost Georgia by 11,779 votes. The Post received 28,000 likes as of Wednesday and 12,800 shares. But the Post cites a complaint submitted to the Georgia State Election Board, which details an alleged election irregularities, including the 20,713 votes, which the complaint says were never cast. It provides as proof a Fulton County email, but poll tapes, receipt-like vote tallies from either a specific tabulator or an entire polling precinct are just one of many methods documenting the votes. Three different tallies of Georgia's 2020 votes, a machine count on Election Day, a risk-limiting audit conducted by hand that took place on November 11th and 19th, and a second recount that began days later, done with scanning machines, found similar results in Fulton County. Biden won each time, beating then-President Trump by between 242,965 and 243,904. The results of a recount became official results, the AP reported in 2020, meaning that after the last recount, Biden had won Georgia by 11,779 votes. A 2023 state review of Fulton County's 2020 audit found errors and inconsistencies in the vote count, including some double counting of ballots, but the errors weren't enough to alter the election results. I'm not seeing anything about 380,000 ballots missing. Doop-a-doop-a-doo. Okay, so here's Quora.com. Why have 380,000 ballots and voting records in Georgia disappeared? There aren't, according to this person, there aren't 380,000 ballots missing. There are 380,000 images of ballots properly erased here. Because the counties keep the paper ballots, which are the official legal record, the law only requires a two-year retention period for the election electronic images made during the scanning. The counties that have since purged those electronic images during the scanning. Okay, so that's the deal, Chad. The digital copies. Georgia digital copies of ballots. 2 years. So according to that post, I mean, I'd have to go dig up the law. However, what that post was saying is that according to the law, that the people that run the elections are only required, the counties that run the election are only required to keep the scans of the ballots, the digital copies of the ballots, should only, all right, so you're saying, let's see, 380,000 votes missing digital copies. Let's just, and that's basically confirming what it is, what I'm talking about. Is that the ballots are not missing, the images are not there. More than 380,000 ballot images that were by law supposed to be saved are now missing. They're not missing. They are only required to be kept for 2 years. Let's see, because the counties keep the paper ballots, which are the official legal record, the law only requires a two-year retention period for the electronic images made during the scanning. The counties that have since purged those electronic images after the two-year period could produce the paper copies for a fourth recount if there were any reason to feel the outcome might be different other than the prior three recounts. Found that information with a simple Google search. Maybe try that next time before biting down quite so hard on the conspiracy theory rage bait. Another response on that Reddit thread. None of what you describe is correct. Still does not indicate fraud. Numerous recounts in Georgia have all demonstrated that the election was fair, secure, and legitimate. There are full hand recounts, full scanning, blah, 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 blah. So, yes, there is a only thing that's missing, I guess, from that one post is a link to the law that says that they're required to only keep the retention period for electronic images, but I'm sure I could find that before the next show if it was really important for me to do so. But let's just see if I can happen to find it. Let's see. Georgia election code scanned ballot retention. Show results with retention. There we go. That's not it. That's not it. That's absentee. And let's see, 24 months. I don't know. I'm sure I could find it if I wanted to put a lot of effort to it, but it seems like on several websites, the response to the people trying to bring up the claim that they are missing 380,000 scanned versions of the ballot is that there is a 24-month retention period. It seems that when it comes to absentee ballots, I was able to find that there are 24-month absentee ballot retention period. Have to see if there's anything about the scanned or optical version of those absentee ballot whatever's. But again, I think this is just another example of much ado about nothing coming from conservatives who want to, and look, there's nothing wrong, again, with if somebody says something that seems fishy, you know, government should always be questioned. I'm not saying that we shouldn't question our government. Absolutely, we should question our government. We should question our government when Democrats are in charge. We should question our government when Republicans are in charge. I just have a hard time believing that the Republicans in charge of the Georgia government didn't want Trump to win. Like, I think that the Republicans in charge of the Georgia government at the time of the election of 2020 probably really wanted Donald Trump to win, and they took actions to prevent Biden from winning, including taking people off the voter rolls and stuff like that, and all the good voter disenfranchisement that Republicans are apt to do. But this is a nothing burger. This is another example of just people trying to make a mountain out of a nothing hill, not even a molehill. It's a nothing hill. So Chad, from your understanding, they don't have any paper ones anymore either. I don't know if that's true. I've not seen that's the case. According to the post that I saw, it was only the scanned ones that were away, that were not found. According to this Reddit post, 380,000 ballot images missing. More than 380,000 ballot images were missing. They're supposed to be saved, and they were saved for 2 years, and now it's more than 2 years afterwards. So again, I think that problem is that a lie travels halfway around the world before the truth gets out of bed. So sure, if something sounds fishy, look at it. But I don't think that this is what you think it is. So again, maybe I'll look at it a little further just to get verification of what this is and what this isn't. But I don't think it's necessarily something that's worth a large bunch of time, because I think other people have found what I likely will find, which is that ballot images are not required to be saved. Ballot images are, you know, only need to be saved for 24 months. And that this election was counted and recounted and recounted yet again. Why would we believe that a fourth counting of the results would result in anything different? Or why do we believe that these votes that optically are missing were missing back in 2020? Like, that's the thing. Why do you believe if they're missing, if they're not here now, why do you believe that that means that they were missing back then? So thank you, PB. Appreciate you. Yeah, Trump did lose the popular vote by 3 million votes. Republicans, and that pissed Trump off. He was very angry that he lost by 3 million votes, and he wanted to do a recount of California to try and prove that he really won the popular vote, because he wanted to throw out 3 million California votes. We can show that popular vote president 2016. Boo. That's his maps. Here we go. Let's flip over to the alternate. Hillary Clinton, 65,853,514, compared to Donald Trump, 62,984,828. Hillary Clinton got just under 3 million more votes than Donald Trump, 48% of the vote to 46% of the vote, of course, which is irrelevant because Electoral College. We could probably zoom in to give this a better view. That's a better view of that. Let's see. I think you did say that Trump won the popular vote. You said with a nearly 3 million vote margin, Trump carried 30 states and won the Electoral College. So, I don't know if that means, I think people interpreted that meaning that he won by a 3 million vote margin. So you didn't say he won by 3 million. You didn't say he lost by 3 million. You just said that he did it with a 3 million vote margin. So take that as you will. It's not worded very specifically as to who got the 3 million votes. So, and it seems that everybody seemed to take it as you saying that he got 3 million votes more, instead of, because normally when somebody says with a such and such vote margin, I think normally people might interpret that as saying that since the person had the margin, that person was on the top side of the margin instead of the bottom side of the margin. I don't know. Maybe other people, other areas of the country use that differently. But when I kind of hear that, when I hear somebody who said with a large margin, with a 3 million vote margin, to me that sounds like got more votes. But you didn't specifically state Donald Trump won the popular vote. You didn't specifically state Donald Trump won 3 million more votes. So, you know, it's a poorly worded badly communicated and badly interpreted, or so a badly interpreted thing.
It is what it is.
Anyway, there you go. No, Daily News just called in. Daily News is a woman, at least today. Sometimes I think Daily News is her husband, but today Daily News is a woman. She called in. So, anyway, Daily News is the one that called in earlier and saying that it should be between the doctor and the patient as to whether or not an abortion takes place. So, anyway, I think that's it for the show today. We only have about 10 minutes left anyway of the blog talk show, so let's just go ahead and call it a night. I've got a couple of things I need to do before I head to bed, so let's just go ahead and end the show today. I'll, of course, we'll be on tomorrow on nerdydan.com, twitch.tv/nerdydan.com. If you want to split the show, remember the pinned link, download the game, play it a little bit, try and get your ops level 5, try and get a second shift by tomorrow, whatever, 5 seconds, or the second, whatever, buying the second builder gets it's only $4.99, it gets me $30. That's the best way to help next 18 people that do so help out the show. Again, tomorrow, Tuesday, nerdydan.com on Twitch, Wednesday here, liberaldanradio.com, and more than likely next Monday off for my birthday. So I'll see you next time. This is Dan Zimmerman with Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left, that's right.